corporate issues. We're everywhere you need to be. The Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Just wonder how many times that has been used to intro my next guest, Mr. Dan Boone from the IRS, spokesman for Tennessee and Alabama areas. Mr. Boone, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Brian.
I guess that...
Yeah, it's been used a couple of times.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. Dan, a lot of things to talk about here. I was sharing earlier that I talked to someone the other day, and it just came up in conversation that they had been spending some time putting their information together about their taxes, and I guess a lot of people are doing that right now.
It is the time to be doing that. Of course, some people are still waiting on their W-2s and 1099s. Employers are not required to have them available till the end of January, so still got a few more days to go.
Well, with that being said, we want to jump into some very pertinent information. And first of all, this year the e-file has already launched, so that means if you use e-file, I guess you can go ahead and get everything submitted now.
That's right. We opened the portals for e-file on January 17th, so that's well underway. Lots of folks e-filed last year, and we expect them to again this year. In fact, about 83% of all Tennessee tax returns were e-filed rather than on paper, which is a record for sure.
Are we seeing more go to... I would assume so. I mean, everything seems to be computer-based and things of that nature. Are more people e-filing now, and are we getting close to the time when those paper forms are no longer?
Well, I think there will probably always be a few people who just like to do it on paper, like to hold that paper in their hand, like to put it in the envelope and all that. But I do think it's going to be a very high percentage that will be e-filing in just a few years, maybe in the 90% or more range. Right now we've got 880,000 Tennesseans who are doing their own taxes on a computer and then e-filing it, and that's up almost 15% over last year, and we expect it probably to rise about that much again this year.
Well, you know, if you actually go to some type of tax preparation, either software or someone prepares your taxes, all of that is basically done by e-filing in some form or fashion.
Yes, pretty much all tax preparers e-file now. Anybody that's a do-it-yourselfer, though, we want to make sure they know about the free file program that's available at irs.gov. And it has two options. One option is available to anybody of any income level. It's called the fillable forms. Now, it is the less intuitive of the options. It's sort of like looking at a tax form on your computer screen, and you basically have to read the instructions and fill in the blanks. It will do the math for you, so it helps eliminate any math errors, and then you can, at the end of preparing the return, you've got a choice of either printing it out or e-filing it for free. Then the other option is the free file software, and that's available to anybody with income of $57,000 or less, which is actually about 70% of the population out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you, again, to go to irs.gov, click on the free file button, and there are about 20 different software vendors, some of whom are very familiar brand names of tax software, that have partnered with IRS to allow free use of their software online.
Now, for those who are numerically challenged, and I'm raising my hand, is this something that, you know, someone who may have trouble with math or whatever, it sounds like those fillable forms or whatever, if it does the math, maybe that's a little better. How easy is it, I guess, is the question.
Well, the fillable forms are the least easy of the two options.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, it's sort of like the forms on your computer screen, and you still have to read the instructions and read each line and go line by line, whereas the software is very intuitive and asks you questions. You know, it'll ask you, did you own a home, did you pay mortgage interest, and then all you do is just fill in the blanks of the amount of mortgage interest you paid or real estate taxes or things like that. And it really helps you not miss any of the deductions that you're entitled to or tax credits. So if you want the easy way, the really easy way, the software is the way to go.
Dan Boone, our guest, talking about taxes. It's coming up upon that date, which, again, is it? It's not on the 15th again this year, if I remember correctly.
You're right, Brian. It's April 17th this year. The 15th falls on a Sunday. And then Monday, April 16th, is Emancipation Day in Washington, D.C., which means that all Washington offices will be closed. So that moves the tax filing deadline to Tuesday, April 17th.
Didn't that happen last year, same thing?
It did, exactly. The deadline last year was April 18th, and it was for exactly the same reason.
Okay. Very good. Well, another couple of days there. Take advantage of Emancipation Day if you need to.
That's right.
Dan, you mentioned just a second ago about forms as well, and I guess you're talking about the 1040 easy forms and things of that nature. I remember when I first started filling out tax, you know, filing my taxes, if you will, that the forms were pretty accessible. I think I even got them in the mail. Does that still happen?
It does not. We quit last year automatically mailing them out to people who don't e-file. So this year there won't be anything that gets mailed automatically to anybody. But now the forms are still available for anybody that still likes to use the paper forms. You can go to irs.gov and, of course, download or print them off of there. You can call our forms number. That's 1-800-TAX-FORM. Very easy to remember, 1-800-TAX-FORM. And we'll mail them to you. You can request them. Also, many libraries and post offices still carry tax forms, and also some print shops, copy shops, places like that sometimes have them on CD where you can print them off.
Very good. So the forms, now you said in the past, if you didn't e-file, you got one of these forms in the mail, and last year you stopped that, and so the same would be the case this year.
That's right. Okay. Last year we actually mailed a postcard out to a lot of people who filed papers, paper returns, telling them that we would not be mailing out forms and giving them the information about where to get forms. Mm-hmm. This year we're not even doing the postcards. So if you're wanting forms, you'll have to go after them yourself.
Dan, one thing that we have been promoting here on the station in partnership with the United Way and also our friends over at Greenhouse Ministries is what they're calling a VITA site, V-I-T-A, VITA site. Are these things popping up around Middle Tennessee and around the area, and what exactly is a VITA site?
They are popping up, and a VITA site, VITA stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. We have those sites, and then we also have what we call TCE sites, or Tax Counseling for the Elderly. They're both similar because both are staffed by trained volunteers. These are people who have from the community who have volunteered their time and have taken training with the IRS and then passed a test with the IRS saying that they're certified to prepare returns. And then they go out and set up sites in libraries and senior centers and various places like that. And I know you mentioned Greenhouse Ministries was one that you've been promoting there in Murfreesboro. But there are also some in other places in Rutherford County. The MCCAA Rutherford County on West College has a site there. And that's a VITA site. And then there's another VITA site in Smyrna at the public library. Then as far as senior citizen sites, the ones that help people who are 60 or older, there's one at the Smyrna Senior Center, at the Laverne Senior Center, at the St. Clair Street Senior Center in Murfreesboro. And I guess what I didn't mention, too, the TCE sites help people age 60 and older. The VITA sites help people who have income generally under $50,000 or file a very simple tax return.
So it's under 50 or a simple tax return for the VITA sites, and you said 60 and over at the senior citizen centers?
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And is there any cap or anything on incomes?
For the senior sites, there is no income cap.
Okay. Very good.
And they actually will help other people if they're not busy helping seniors and you walk in, they'll help other people with their taxes too.
Now, I'm sure that the volunteers that are doing this, is there a charge? I know the one at Greenhouse, they're trying to get people in so that they're not charged exorbitant amounts of money and, you know, to file for them and to get their money back so quickly and this, that, and the other, and giving them loans on the money that they're going to get back and such, which sounds like a great thing. And the biggest part of it was to get people who are leaving unclaimed money out there. And I heard, you know, several thousands of dollars that are just left out there unclaimed here just in this county because there was no return actually filed.
Well, all of these sites are free. You don't pay anything to have your return prepared and e-filed. And, of course, that saves you, you know, $200 to $300 right there, mm-hmm. just in preparation fees. And then you're right, we are pushing tax credits that are out there, especially the earned income tax credit, which is available to lower-income working people. If you worked at all last year and your income was under $49,000, then you need to check to see if you're eligible for the earned income tax credit. I think the average credit last year nationwide was about $2,200, so that's tacked on to your regular refund if you're getting taxes back. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't owe anything at all on your return, you could get the entire amount back as a refund. So definitely these sites will help you determine whether or not you're eligible for earned income credit or any of the other credits or benefits.
Dan Boone with the IRS talking to us today as we get ready to either sit down ourselves and plug through this or whatever you may do to file your taxes. One thing that came up a couple of years ago, and all these years kind of flow together now, Dan, but in Tennessee, since Tennessee is a sales tax state, there was you know, a deduction that could be, you know, if we kept up with all of those things. Is that still in effect? Can we still deduct sales tax, state sales tax?
Very good question. Yes, we still can deduct state and local sales taxes. And in fact, here in Tennessee, very few of us pay state income tax. And the way the tax form works is you can deduct either state income tax or state and local sales tax. So since most of us don't even pay state income tax, the sales tax deduction is the logical one to take if you're an itemizer. And basically what you do is go to the tables, and there's an amount on the IRS sales tax tables based on your income and number of exemptions and that kind of thing that you pull off the table, and then that becomes your deduction. The thing that a lot of people forget or maybe don't even know about is that if you bought certain big ticket items like a car, a boat, a truck, an RV, a mobile home, an SUV, there's a specific list of things that qualify, and if you bought any of those things, the sales tax you paid on those is added to the amount from the IRS tables. So let's just say you have a $1,000 sales tax deduction from the IRS tables, and you bought a car last year and you paid $500 sales tax on that. You add that $500 onto the $1,000 and get a $1,500 deduction instead.
Oh, okay. Now, you did mention something that's key in there, and it's if you're an itemizer on your taxes.
That's right. You have to itemize to take the sales tax deduction. But, you know, I encourage people to check to see what their deductions might be if they might be able to itemize. I think it's only about maybe a quarter of the Tennessee population are itemizers. And I've always thought that probably a lot more people could be. They just don't take the time to add up their deductions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're single and you have more than $5,800 in deductions, then you can itemize and take the benefit of that. If you're married filing jointly, and you'd have to have more than $11,600 in deductions. And, I mean, if you own a home with a mortgage, you probably are able to itemize because you're between mortgage interest and real estate taxes. That's probably a big chunk of it. Or, you know, and if you give a lot to charity, that's another deduction. So I encourage people to check that out.
And I guess it may be too late this year, you know, but as we prepare for next year, are there certain things that we need to save? I mean, do we have to save, you know, every receipt that we've ever used to purchase something, or how does that work?
Well, as far as the sales tax deduction, that's an option. If you want to save every receipt and add up the sales tax on every receipt, you know, I actually did that the first year the sales tax deduction came around, just to see how close it would be to the table amount, and the table amount was so close that I haven't done it ever again. So taking the table amount is obviously the easiest way, and if you use tax software, you don't even have to look on a table. The software automatically figures what your sales tax deduction would be.
All right. Very good. One more that I wanted to kind of touch on, because I am the proud new owner of one of these big, huge, fancy refrigerators. You know, and you see this energy stuff on it. You know, with everything you see, the, you know, how much energy it uses. And maybe that's not one, but, you know, someone who puts replacement windows in and things of that nature. I remember there used to be the, I'm not sure if it was energy credit or what that was called, but is that still around?
It is. It's not as much as it has been in past years. It's a maximum of $500. Unfortunately, it doesn't count for refrigerators and appliances. But you mentioned windows, replacement windows and doors. It does count for those. Heating and air systems that are energy efficient. Let's see, what else? Insulation, of course. Hot water tanks. There's a whole list at EnergyStar.gov of what qualifies.
Okay. So it's that same yellow Energy Star that I saw on that. They put it on all appliances and all, but you go to EnergyStar.com and it lists the appliances, or not appliances, but the items that are energy credit worthy, I guess.
Yeah, now make sure it's EnergyStar.gov.
G-O-V.
And one caution there, not everything that's Energy Star is eligible for the credit, but there is a list on that website of what is eligible.
And be sure that .gov, and that's a good reminder. It's easy to go to .coms because it's just a part of nature, I guess, you know. IRS.com is not a place you want to go. It's IRS.gov is where you want to go to get all the information. There's a plethora of information there, some of which we talked about today.
Yes, that's right. Remember, too, that IRS does not ever email you about your taxes. So if you get one of those real official-looking emails that has the IRS logo and all that, it's probably a scam. Don't click on it. Don't answer it.
Dan the Man is also on Twitter at TaxDan. Wow.
That's right.
How about that? Also, Facebook and all the social media places, YouTube, things of that nature, you can find IRS information there. Dan, I appreciate it. I'm sure we usually spend at least once a month leading up to the April 17th deadline talking about taxes and some new information that comes out, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in February.
That would sound great, yes.
Very good.
To.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you. IRS spokesman for Rutherford County, for the state of Tennessee, for Alabama as well. He is a busy man, and we appreciate him spending some time with us here today. Dan Boone with the Internal Revenue Service joining us here on Rutherford Issues. Stay with us. We'll be right back in just a moment.
It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Perry on Rutherford County's Place to Talk, WGNS AM-FM.